put drilling so we not close enough.
Okay, I've got 9:03 a.m. and we'll call this special meeting of the Coryell County Commissioners Court to order at this time. Ms. Lee noting that there is a quorum of the court present. We'll begin this morning. For those of you that are here in person, if you've got an electronic device, we would ask that you place it on silence at this time. And for those of you participating by Zoom, we would ask that you place your device on mute until such time that you'd need to address the court. We'll begin this morning with a word of prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you humbled in your sight and asking for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, we're so grateful that we can gather peacefully in this great nation that was created under your guidance and wisdom. Lord, we ask that you watch over those that are in harm's way this morning. Those that are fighting and serving on our behalf to protect us here on earth, just as you protect us in heaven. Lord, we ask that the actions that this court may take today brings honor and glory to you here on earth, and we recognize you as the creator of all. Lord, we ask all these things in your son's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
We pledge to our flags. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. The next item on our agenda is the public forum. Citizens may address the court on any matter other than matters concerning county personnel or matters under litigation. Each citizen will be allocated 5 minutes with a total time not to exceed 30 minutes. Is there anyone here in person that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, is there anyone participating by Zoom that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move on to item number 5 on the agenda, which is a workshop. There are two items that we're going to address this morning. That is the presentation from Butler Coin on the guaranteed maximum price for construction of a county annex and discussions concerning construction of a county annex. Those two items may be joined together, but just for clarity, I wanted to make sure that we listed both items on there. So with that, am I turning it over to Mr. Heffelfinger or Mr. Butler that is
Yeah, no, I can go ahead and start, Judge, if that's all right with you.
You go right ahead.
All right. Thank you to the Commissioner's Court for allowing us to be here today. I'm Sean Butler with Butler Cohen. Josh Contreras is our project manager with Butler Cohen. He's involved with the construction of the jail expansion that's ongoing currently right now. We're here today to present and talk about the GMP process for the Coryell County Annex that we've been working through with Jeff Heffelfinger with Southwest Architects as well as with the county over the last 6 to 7 weeks, which is when this process began, the GMP process began. Again, that is a process that is an effort to establish a guaranteed maximum price. We are currently under a construction manager at risk contract, and the first portion of that is to work with the county and the architect to develop the drawings and then eventually put those drawings out for public solicitation and then culminate that information and present that in the format which we passed out to everybody in the room today. And we also will have it on the slide presentation here, which will be the same document. So again, we started this process in earnest roughly about 7 weeks ago. The drawings were completed by Jeff and his team. They have been submitted for permit and have been approved for permit and have also been submitted to the Texas Commission on Jail Standards. And I believe we do have that approval, or we'll have that approval this afternoon for the Texas. So from that perspective, the drawings are complete and the project is permitted and ready for construction. Now we are at the point where we are reviewing with the county the GMP information. And it's our anticipation that we would move to a GMP amendment, which amends the current 201 and 131 contract to amend and approve the GMP that we'll be discussing here today. If should choose to move forward with the project, our team would immediately start engaging subcontractors for the contract for the project, and we would start what we call the procurement process, and that is the effort to lock down materials, labor, subcontractors, long lead items for the project, and we would tentatively schedule to start coordinating with the county to begin construction activities in the January timeframe. I'll talk a little bit about the process that we went through, and then I'll kind of open it up for questions for the process, and then I will give you the information that is in the estimate or is in the package that you have in front of you today, and then open it up for questions pertaining to that. So, again, we started about 7 weeks ago. We did publicly post the notification for bids in the local newspapers here in Gateville. So that was distributed and posted for the allotted time period that's required. Actually, I think we even went further than that and left it in several cycles in the newspaper to gain interest here locally and make sure that people that were interested in the project were aware that we were putting the public solicitation out. We also used our database called Building Connected, and that is a online platform that we're able to reach not only sub vendors in the local community, but we're also able to reach vendors that are in surrounding markets. I can tell you that the solicitation hit Dallas-Fort Worth markets, it hit Waco markets, it hit Austin markets, and it also hit markets obviously here in the Bell County and Coryell County areas. We solicited over 319 invites went out during that process. We received interest in the project. We over 200 subcontractors during that process expressed interest in the project. As we continue to move through that process, we have various touch points, notifications that go up to those interested parties during the 3.5 week bid process. Those notifications can range from responding to RFIs. There were notifications about a pre-bid conference that was conducted here on site. That's an opportunity for those subcontractors to come and meet the general contractor, walk the site, look at the site, get familiar with what's going on there, ask any questions about the process that they may have. And then we also follow up with those responses to any of those questions during that pre-construction conference as well. So in total, of the over 200 subcontractors that expressed interest, there were probably over 2,500 separate communications via email to those companies during that process. Once we got to bid day, not all of those participants that expressed interest did turn in a bid. That is usually par for the course. Sometimes it's better, sometimes it's worse. We did receive 65 subcontractor proposals for the contract out of the over 200 companies that expressed interest during the process. With about a little less than 20 subcontractors on this project that we anticipate awarding contracts to, that averages out to about three subcontractors per trade that we received a proposal for. So our goal when we go through this process, obviously, is to get the word out as far and as wide and as often as we can. I can tell you the number of phone calls that were also made were over 100 phone calls specifically during that process as well. You know, we preach at Butler Cohen that, you know, personal communication and picking up a phone is worth its weight in gold versus emails and computers. So we really lean in hard to try to even comb the phone lines and talk to people about the project, engage them about the project, and get that interest. But I will say that our standard is to try to receive a minimum of three bids per contract or trade. That gives us a good sense of where the market is, you know, making sure that not only while we're reviewing those bids for accuracy, completeness, scope gaps, making sure they understand the project, that the dollar that's on the piece of paper is the right amount to make sure that they're successful in the project. It's also a good gauge to level those bids out and ask questions, see qualifications, see exclusions, so on and so forth. So by and large, I would say we got a very good representation across definitely the major trades on this project, which make up about 80% of the cost of work. You're always going to have the other 20% on some lower dollar ticket items for the project. So it did in our mind give us a very good look at not only interest in the area, but also where the price points for these specific trades are falling. So once we finished that process, we started communications with the architect. I will tell you that the initial number came in considerably higher than the budget that the county has been working with from a finance and project perspective. That was not the first number that was presented to the county. We wanted to make sure that we looped in the architect as early as possible to let him know where we were at. We were still going through a lot of information to make sure that we understood, do we have the right numbers? Are people putting things into their bid that don't apply? Better yet, are they missing some things in their bid that they need to have? So that process took about a week. And during that process, the number did come down quite a bit from the initial number that we discussed with Mr. Helfer here. Once Jeff and our team agreed that we had really kind of worked through the number, understood that we had all the scopes defined and covered, we did give a number to the project team with the Commissioner's Court, Mr. Weddle, and Mr. Basham, as they're kind of the county's representatives on the jail project. We did represent that. During that process, we also identified cost-saving measures that could be entertained for the project to try to bring the number down closer to an acceptable budget range for the county. I'll get into that in detail in a little bit, but roughly we were able to define with Jeff's assistance and his communication with the county representatives, roughly about $300,000 in items that really what I call, I use a term when I do this, I think I expressed it to Commissioner Weddle at one point, we look for low-hanging fruit. What I mean by that is, where are the items that don't really affect the functionality of the project, they don't affect the program of the project, they don't affect the aesthetics of the project that the architect has envisioned, but there are things that are added on that can very simply be removed from the project and offer a value credit to the overall budget. So those are by and large the items that we've identified to date. As with any project, there's always other cost-saving measures that could be entertained, but that's something that takes a little bit more finesse and a little bit more communication with not only the architect, but also the client to make sure we understand function versus cost. There's a balancing act there that, everybody, all the project stakeholders need to be involved with to make those types of decisions. So we stayed away from those types of items at this point in time. We are planning to continue to work with the project team to identify any other areas that we may be able to provide the cost optimization for that is impactful to the overall budget of the project. So we'll keep working through those items and those discussions should we continue to move forward and approve the current GMP. So that is kind of brings us to today. So after all of that exercise, we have had additional conversations about, where Butler Cohen can move the number down. Those discussions were also had with the design team. I will talk a little bit more about those items as we talk about the estimate package that we're looking at here today. But it brought us currently, we are currently sitting, the construction GMP is currently sitting at $8,016,114 for the construction of the project. We are anticipating that once we start the proverbial clock on the project, we're anticipating about a 10-month schedule to complete the project. So I will pause there and either let Jeff and anybody on the court ask any questions about the process that we've engaged in over the last couple of months, and entertain any comments or questions to that.
Everybody has a quick spreadsheet, because I think get the bottom line and then him go through the details will be better at the start. As Sean explained, we've had some very serious meetings and trying to continue to reduce the overall cost. And you'll see at the bottom line, it's $9,512,352. I will share that we have reviewed the entire budget to see where we could save money in this process. And we looked to our testing. We just are finishing up all the testing at the jail. So we have a good feel for the travel time expenses of this type of testing here locally. So we felt comfortable reducing that by $4,000. The geotechnical, that was done almost 4 years ago. So that hasn't changed, and it's in there for what it is. The civil engineering, we reduced it $3,000. The court contracted with the company in Waco that did our civil engineering. But in that contract, they were supposed to do the landscaping design. And because of the delays that we dealt with, we did the landscaping in-house. So, and we did not charge extra for it. But I feel like we should be able to reduce their contract $3,000 based on them not providing that service. And to date, Mr. Wood, but we still haven't even seen a bill on the project. So we don't know where else to deal with it. But we took $3,000 there. The survey and topo, along with the geotech, was done almost 4 years ago. We corrected the site demolition from an estimate of 82 to 68. That's what Commissioner Basham brought it in at. Along with a few concessions, we worked with the demo contractor, Sierra Demo, but that's the exact amount. We reduced the FF&E from 575 to 500,000. We still have some contingency in it, but you know, we've been getting a little bit more information since the original budget on cost of the bench seating, et cetera, in the courtrooms. So, you know, we feel like we can save some money because we actually set aside an extra amount in there because we knew, unlike the building facility, we got an additional 8 months before we're going to start receiving that furniture. And I wanted to make sure, going through the buy board, that we were cognizant of their rate increases that happen annually in the buy board. Our fee, we actually reduced our fee $40,000, just so you have a round number on that. Sean didn't mention it, but everybody put a little skin in the game, I think is the way to put it.
Yeah.
And then on the contingency, you know, we haven't really used a lot of it in the past. And we, you know, it's mostly just some expenses. So we felt comfortable reducing that $50,000 because when we first set out, there was a whole lot of unknowns. And so we wanted to make sure that we had enough money in the originally. But I'm comfortable with the $100,000. And that's basically how we got to the $9,500,000. Both Sean will show you where Butler Cohen put in skin in the game. Obviously, the court has been involved in this project quite a bit. Mr. Latham has done a heck of a job starting it and continue that. So any questions on the overall number right now before he starts breaking down the big ticket?
On the pricing of furniture, did we reach out to the Texas prison system?
Judge, I have worked with them on a couple projects in the past, and we will when it comes time to bid, but I will caution the court. My experiences have not been very good. The lockdowns that happen periodically at the jail, at the prison system, creates time and delays and furniture delivery and stuff, but we'll bring that option to the court. We just finished working with them on Crane County. We were delayed 6 months. If they have any kind of issue in the prison at the workshop area, they shut them down, and you just have to wait. So knowing that, I went through the buy board just through like a regular suppliers like KI. That's how I got my original estimates. And typically, the prison system is very they're pretty equal in numbers. So, but like I said, we will do that because we haven't, none of that has been cured or to bring to the court, but all those different bids will be brought to the court. There's multiple people on the buy board that we contact to get estimates from, and we get samples for you all to look at and stuff like that. So, but to answer your question, yes, we will be addressing that.
Okay.
And same way with the benches, believe it or not, up in the northern panhandle, there's an Amish company up there that build them that do a heck of a job also. So we kind of will spider out on furniture, obviously.
Okay. And I'll pose this to to both of you. Were you clear from the beginning that the court had allocated funding of $6.5 million all in for this project?
When we presented the budget, Judge, in both January and September, we were at $7 and $8 million.
Yes.
Okay.
But I'm saying, had we conveyed to you, you know, an understanding that there was funds that had been allocated in the amount of $6.5 million for this project?
The total amount, you know, because you kind of
did both
projects in your funding. So I just knew that you had X dollars total. Yes, sir.
Okay. And so with that understanding, the $9.5 million that we're in right now, is it your understanding that that exceeds what we have available to us right now?
We're just presenting the numbers that came in.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Correct.
But I mean, it's the, I mean, I'm just saying that we're talking like right now, the county's position right now is we don't have $9.5 million. I mean, so as we proceed, please proceed with that understanding that, you know, we've already issued a bond that was supposed to be kind of an all-in number based off the original estimates. With money that we had allocated from current funds of $6.5 million to go with the 6.3, I think was our net from the bond revenue. Is that
6.6?
Yes, sir. 6.6. Which, you know, put us at an all in for the two projects from what we had available to us was about 13.3. Is that
13.735?
13,735.
Yep. We actually contributed the
13,630.
Yeah. We had the 100,000 and then with the issuance.
Okay. So because this number is quite large is what I'm really getting at. Please proceed.
Okay. So the format of the document that we brought today starts with the estimate summary, which is a summary of information that makes up the construction cost. Then the next tab is the estimate detail, and that is a that is a spreadsheet, if you will, of the major divisions of the scope of works that are involved with the annex project. And those have sub-sections underneath those for miscellaneous fees that that are involved with the project as well, that gets you to the total construction amount of the $8,016,000. Then behind that, we have a very lengthy estimate detail that goes into the specific divisions that are that make up the scopes of work for the project and breaks down all of the components of each major division. So your concrete division, your masonry division, steel division, so on and so forth. So the estimate detail is quite a bit of information. There's unit quantities and dollars associated with every division. I probably will not go through that today. I'll stick to the summary, but we provide that to the court for y'all to review at y'all's leisure to ask any specific questions about that information that we've received from the market. Then behind that, you will see a qualifications and assumptions document that's broken again down by the major divisions of the project so that it's kind of easy to follow. That qualifications and assumption is broken down that way so you can go by the concrete division, the masonry division, the general conditions division, and look at qualifications assumptions associated with each major feature of work. The next section of the document are what we call the bid tabs. Those are the pricing information that were received from subcontractors in the market with features that we call bid leveling in there. Do you have this? Do you have that? Do you have this? And that is, again, this is out of our Building Connected software. And it's basically produced so that we're able to make sure that the scopes and the dollar figures that make up the estimate are complete and represent the drawings and specifications that have been put forth by the architect design group. The next tab is your drawing log. These are the drawings that were presented to Butler Cohen from Southwest Architects. That are the basis of the price that is in the estimate. So we provide the drawing log to make sure that everybody understands that you know what drawings we had and that there were no drawings omitted during this process that that the general contractor and subsequent subcontractors are responsible to deliver for the project. And then that's it. So flipping back to the estimate summary, the first tab, this is where we've listed the value engineering concept that we have currently discussed with Corio County. The totality of those items equal about a $323,000 deduct or credit to the current number that we are looking at. That number is represented by a straight line $300,000. If you look at the estimate summary in the next section, I'll just turn your attention to the last page. You will see on page 3 or page 7 in the document proposed VE of negative $300,000. So we just kept a flat line target $300,000 VE that has currently been communicated that would be acceptable to value engineer the project. And so there could be a little bit more. There are some things in this list that I think the county has indicated that they do want to keep. So right now, that $300,000 is a very, very well-defined targeted value, if you will, until we're able to sit down and really, dot the I's and cross the T's and make sure that, we understand what specifically we want to keep in the project versus not. So I'll stop at the value engineering section if anybody has any questions about that. But currently, the budget is representative of a $300,000 deduction for the items listed in the top portion of that first page.
Yeah, I will let you know we discussed these pretty extensively today, and to Sean's point, the reason it's at 300,000, there's about four of those items there that we have to vet out a lot. A good example is changing the height of the security fence from 6 foot to 42 inches. Obviously, we don't think that's a good idea, but that's their job to bring us ideas and us look at them. So that's one of those obvious ones to us from a security standpoint that we will address at a very near future. But that's the reason taking the 300,000, if we choose to keep some of their value engineering above the 300,000, obviously the deduction would be greater. Okay. But they've defined these with numbers. And like I said, I needed to get some of my users involved in that along with the court to make those final decisions. Okay.
The next section in this page is the alternates. So there were three alternates that were presented. There are two accepted alternates in the estimate. The first being the generator for the building, and that is a full backup generator for the annex. It for $130,272. That is in the number reflected in the estimate. And also the RV pedestal hookups across the street at the annex parking lot for $28,000. Sorry, I need my readers on today. $874,000. So those two numbers are in. There was another alternate for a clean agent system that was not accepted. So that is not in the GMP number.
The clean agent is a complete portable fire protection system for the server room. And it's the system, the building is designed that when you bring back your equipment from Waco, it actually hooks up inside the space. It's already set up, the power's there for it, all the infrastructure's in place, but and I'm gonna call it HALON, but it's not HALON anymore. This system can be installed, which will turn off the sprinkler system in there and turn this system on to allow for in the event of a fire that we won't be waterlogging your systems. Now, all the systems are set up on pedestals to begin with. So a water event, because all the systems that's going to go in place originally are in cabinets, the water event won't affect them. But when you start moving your server systems back at some point in time, they won't have necessarily enclosed cabinets. They'll be more open cabinets is what your IT people have talked to us about. So that system would be able to be installed and budgeted at the time you do consider bringing back your server system. Thank you.
Also a note on the generator, the reason it was an alternate accepted. That is a requirement by the Texas Mission on Jail Standard, because we will have two operating cells, if you will, in that facility. So initially we were like, no, yes, maybe not. But when we got down to the nitty gritty, the Texas Jail Commission, and to clarify also, the RV, we call them RV plugs. They're really meant for one of the hottest things going right now, our food truck.
Right.
Yeah, so we do not plan on opening up an RV park, but it would be just pedestals.
Yeah, and they're just electric. They don't include water. You want to say there? It's we have a service on that side of the street to save money from bringing the power across. So it connects the lights and controls the lights along with these pedestals.
So those are the two main items on the estimate summary page.
That's okay. For the other commissioners on page four, of the summary page, the potential value engineering options. I think that's an area that you guys can really, if you haven't already, I sent this to you, I think on Friday. If you look those over, you'll see kind of the process, that we went through in talking about. And as Jeff mentioned, he wants to, and I'm in agreement of really investigating the fence height. That was another thing that the Texas Jail Commission, you know, asked about, the secure parking area where inmates, and specifically not just our jail inmates, we will have TDC, you know, inmates coming through there. We had some conversation about the copper ceilings, but like one, changing from a copper color roof to a galvalume roof, you know, saved us $25,000. Everybody knows the colored metal is more expensive. Just things like that that were cosmetic, but really don't affect the function of the court.
And like the jail, I see us not only vetting these, but they've been, Mother Cone's been very out there with us on the jail. We've taken on several saving issues through the process. One, them buying out. Two, them bringing materials for approval. I know the court said keep it simple, and we did. I mean, we've got painted walls. We've got carpeted floors. The ceiling, for example, the only reason we haven't already said okay to it is because when it was presented to us, we understood something differently from the writing that we discussed. So, you know, vetting that out a little farther, because the ceiling design in courtrooms has a lot to do with the acoustics. So we want to see a little bit more from their sub on what they're suggesting for that savings. And I want to, quite frankly, run it by the judges at the same time, because, you know, these courtrooms today, acoustics are huge, especially when they start to move so many people through. And so we want to make sure we got all that in line.
Moving further into the estimate summary, I just want to, again, possibly maybe draw your attention to the bottom of page 6 and page 7, and then I'll go back to and go through the estimate. But again, at the bottom where you see the total estimate, you'll see our payment and performance bond, which is required. You'll see the generator that I spoke of earlier. You'll see the RV. I should probably find a better word. Pedestals for $28,000. You'll see the currently proposed VE items of $300,000. You'll see a line item there called Target VE, and you may recall me saying that there could be some additional value engineering that we have yet to bring forth and identify for consideration. I can tell you that, you know, every project that has budget challenges and needs to look at, ask the hard questions of, you know, where there could be potential cost reductions, they're always there. They're in every project we've ever done. You know, fixture package that is specified in the documents. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of security electronics and camera systems in this building currently designed. There are, you know, the nuances of the equipment that is specified versus a different manufacturer that can perform just as equally. Those are conversations that are a little bit harder to have in a vacuum as us as a construction manager. And they really need to be had in a project team discussion with the client and the design team, so that all the tough questions are asked about those decisions before just a purely monetary decision is made. So we've been in a situation before where, you know, based on the size of the project, based on some of the large scopes that we have in the project, we have many times put a targeted value engineering that is yet to be defined in an effort to get under a GMP and move those conversations along. But we feel very confident that, that $100,000 is a very conservative and achievable number for a project of this size, as well as, you know, the types of systems that are going into this facility. that is a very achievable mark. So I don't think that is by any stretch out of the realm of imagination, which is why we've kind of agreed to, somewhat arbitrarily reduce the current GMP number by $100,000, and know that we have to work with the court and the project team to achieve that additional $100,000. So just kind of wanted to talk about that line item. Go ahead.
Yeah, John, a real life example, and what he mentioned about you can't do this in a vacuum. We're almost 70% into the construction of the jail expansion. And we're working a VE right now on some flooring material. You know, so it doesn't just stop at the very beginning. I will give him his kudos, because Josh, because he's there on the site. He's the one that sees those, quite often. And he'll bring them to Jeff, and then we'll discuss them. So, like I said, we're looking at cutting just a flooring cost. It's not huge dollars, and that's the other thing. We're not just looking for the $100,000. This one I think could potentially be anywhere from $5,000 to $8,000 VE. I know Jeff is reviewing the material right now, but I want to make sure that you guys know that this isn't something that just.
$100,000 doesn't happen tomorrow. It can happen up to the last day. Right. No, that's absolutely correct. As I've quoted, correct. And then the last item you'll see on page seven is a buyout credit from the Coryell County Jail. So there are two components of the Coryell County Jail. One is a contractor's contingency that is currently in that GMP, and there's also a buyout savings that has been produced through the process of the project. That number is currently the project savings, the buyout savings that have been achieved thus far, and probably will stay pretty close to that. As the commissioner alluded, we're close to 70% of the project. The project really is is bought out, so we think we've achieved the biggest bulk of the savings that the jail project's going to see. There could be some nickels and dimes that fall out of the tree along the way, but as we sit here today, the project has yielded $130,000 in savings, and under the contract, there's a split provision of 70% to Coryell County and 30% to the contract manager. That $91,000 is representative of the 70% split, that are funds that will not be used for the jail that potentially could be deployed for the annex. The other reason I mentioned the contractor's contingency is that also has a 70-30 split. Currently, I believe that number is still sitting around the $220,000 range. Josh and the team here have done a really good job of managing the project thus far, and we have not really spent a lot of the contractor's contingency. We're not done with the project. There are things that come into play towards the end of projects that, do we need to spend a little money to, keep an area clean and clear, or whatever the case may be, or we may have a subcontractor that we've got to accelerate. That's not anybody's fault other than ours, from a sequencing perspective. There may be things like that that come out, but so that is not currently being considered. But there is a 70% split. If you were to look at splitting the $220,000 today, that's roughly $153,000 that could be available to the county to use as they see fit. That is not in this current projection. It's not in this current $8 million number, but that is out there and should be monitored and looked at.
And there's also, we have a line item that's not tied to contingencies and stuff because it was an existing building. We had Josh, and I know it's 56, there's either $50,000-$60,000 still remaining in that line item. That here again, we're getting to the end. There might be a tweak or two we're dealing with, but that money also would return back in
No, that would be that. There's no split.
What are you saying? Okay. We have 40,000 remaining, and that's not subject to split. Just following through one more step. So.
Yeah, that's an allowance. So allowances under the contract are not subject to the split. That any savings from an allowance goes back to the county. So I wanted to kind of just again start with the end, which is a little bit abnormal, but I thought those were relative talking points that the court should be aware of. I'll flip back to page 5 and kind of briefly just run through the scopes. The concrete is your foundation and your slab on grade. So let me start with the site. The county, much like the parking lot that has been graded out, is planning to do the grading work for the annex. I will tell you that two things. Number one, Butler Cohen will. We're obviously here. We're obviously mobilized on the jail. Butler Cohen will be coordinating with the county. The testing lab will be involved with that. And there also is some interaction with our contract and what the county will be doing on that property because of the retaining wall work that has to happen there. So we have to be able to kind of schedule the concrete company in to once the wall line is dug, to be able to put the footing and the wall in to be backfilled. So there's some interrelationship there. So we'll be heavily involved with that coordination with the county as that work is going on. But then once that's done, we will officially take the site over and begin the underground plumbing, underground electrical, and foundation works to start building the building. So, which again, the concrete foundation and slab is in the Division 3 number. Your masonry is all the exterior masonry. There is quite a bit of interior masonry as well at the separation cell, the holding cells that'll be there, as well as some other various secure areas, the server room, so on and so forth. There were some masonry reductions of scope in the value engineering that was discussed and deemed to be appropriate. So we'll keep working on the masonry to see what other options or what other opportunities may be available to kind of reduce that scope of work. Structural steel is all of your substructure, all your red iron. I will also tell you there's light gauge framing trusses involved with the framing of this building. So those are incorporated in that number, as well as the erection of the red iron and that light gauge material and decking for the project. Your millwork is all your standard millwork, plus all of the courtroom features that are in the project. So the benches and the wall panelings that are in the courtrooms, along with the other miscellaneous cabinetry and millwork that you would typically see in a commercial project, are in that number. Your thermal and moisture protection are all of the exterior envelope, insulation and waterproofing around the building that is required. Your flashings, your waterproofing, your insulation barriers around the walls and the roof systems for the project. Roofing is is made up of two components. The roofing is there is a smaller thermoplastic roof, TPO roof, as well as the standing seam, and at this point, Galvalume roof, which was one of the value engineering items that Commissioner Weddle alluded to earlier. So that is all the roofing for the project. Your doors, frames, and hardware, which includes all of the storefront and interior doors and frames. Your glazing, there's quite a bit of glazing on the project, especially at the front along the sides. And that also includes all the interior window kits that look into the offices, as well as the glazing in the doors. Your drywall and paint, the flooring, all your ceilings, which includes acoustical ceilings and all your hard lid drywall ceilings in the project. Your specialties, which are pretty much, your toilet partitions, your accessories, fire extinguishers, things along those lines. Your detention equipment, again, keep in mind, this is the balance of the detention equipment. There were some items that were previously procured from a long lead item perspective, some door frames and hardware, detention door frames and hardware that were procured and are in possession of us at this point in time. So that is the remaining stool, benches, so on and so forth. Vanity screens, thank you, Joe. A couple of flag poles. There's a wheelchair lift for ADA compliance in the courtroom, your fire suppression system, plumbing, mechanical, electrical. That electrical number does not include the generator. That's a separate line item, as I pointed out earlier. You see there that the earthwork is zero. We are holding.
Can you mind going back to communications?
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that. Yeah, no. Communications and security electronics. Thank you.
And I need to clarify this. When we started working with the county IT company, FA, we started looking at this process because with the courtroom electronics package that we met with the district judges and the JPs and stuff, for all of that, there is a significant amount of wiring. And then also for all of your telecommunications and your data and stuff, which is normally put in, we went ahead and added all the courtroom electronics wiring into this package. And that's where $37,000 was taken out of the courtroom electronics budget in the FF&E, because I felt like mobilizing one firm to do all the wiring is going to save us a mobilization of a second company. And in meeting with FA, there's been double redundancies for all of the points of service in the facility to ensure in the future any changes to the systems, the wires are in place. So just wanted to make sure they've taken on a little bit more that we took out of the FF&E package to cover that additional cost in their low voltage wiring systems. Thank you.
Yeah, but that's what the communication numbers is for all of the low voltage communication and courtroom wiring in the building. The security electronics this is an area that I've expressed interest to Jeff and the commissioner about potentially looking at as some targeted VE. I think there's some opportunity to. We all know the security nature of courtrooms these days and how important it is, but it does feel like a very large number at this point in time that I think should have some opportunity to try to find a good fit that meets the security intentions, but maybe potentially could reduce that number. So, but that is all the security. That's your access control. That's your security cameras. That's all the systems relative to the holding cells in the facility. So that's the complete security electronic system. Earthwork, as I mentioned, we're not holding any dollars for the earthwork. I will tell you that our landscape and irrigation number does have some money in there for some final grading and some backfilling of curves and things that I'm sure the county doesn't want to do. Should they want to get in and get out. So we do have some dollars there to be able to dress up the site once the major earthwork activities are completed. I'll also tell you that the landscape budget is a little on the heavier side. That is another area that I think working with the county and the architect that we may be able to find some maybe more fit for purpose solutions for the landscape package that's currently in the drawing. So that'll be an area that we look at from a targeted value engineering line item as well.
What extent of the earthwork is going to be required? Originally, we just talked about excavation, demolition. Now we're talking excavation, demolition, and
being the fact that bringing in the selective
from the building pad.
You all have a quantity of it? I mean, just
material. Right. Actually, right now, I've got with Geotech. Because the quality material that you have, as you recall, we're able to reduce the heat for the concrete because of the what's called textile material that you are putting on the site. They're reviewing it to see if we can reduce the depth of the slice fill right now. And I'll let you know, once we get that word from them, I'll be able to give you the quantity.
We have some quantities that we took off in our estimate before it came out of our estimate, so we can provide the quantities that we have in our take off.
So there's no money on target for the materials.
Not in our current portfolio.
Correct. And then I noticed here we're responsible for the SWP3 and maintenance.
But you've already done it, except for on the other side. I've already paid for that through a different line. So we're covering that. Yes, sir.
Well, it's been here, it's 01 SWPPP. A subcontractor that says county within the scope.
Yeah, I'm assuming. I made the assumption when we approved the company. I'm sorry, I don't remember off the top of my head. It did the parking lot, the current parking lot.
Yeah, but my concern is the maintenance.
Well, they're the ones that are inspecting. They'll be doing the inspecting.
So, are we responsible to come fix the fence when somebody's backed over the floor?
No.
Okay. That's good. Just want to get clear.
I thought when you meant maintenance, like if we have a ring event, it was the inspection and
logging. Right.
Their superintendents have a log every day.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any questions?
I think I'm good at this point.
Here's landscape and irrigation. So paving, I do want to make a note that the paving is really encompassing of all the site concrete. We probably should have done a little bit better job at describing that item. The paving does include all of your sidewalks. It does include the concrete flat work for the parking lots on the annex site and across the street. All your curbs and gutter, and it does also include the retaining wall work that's included with the project. So the name there is a little bit misleading, but I did want to make note that is all of the everything that is not the foundation and the slab is the concrete associated with that paving number. Paving specialties are your striping, your fire lane striping, all your wheel stops and signage. The fencing is the fencing that Jeff mentioned earlier that goes around the secure parking lot. And then our utilities, primarily storm, makes up the utility number there. The second page in the estimates number gets into the general conditions, general requirements of the project, so management supervision. Construction documentation, miscellaneous, and these are again are all in the estimate detail. Trash, cleaning, tools and equipment, and travel for the project. We are holding currently a construction contingency. In previous estimates that we had provided, this was a more of a percentage based number, which is why you see zero there now, because the number was originally, I think, on a percentage basis of the cost of work was about 289. So we reduced that just to a flat number, which is why you no longer see a percentage. Then our insurance, our general liability, workers' comp, umbrella, so on and so forth. We have removed the subcontractor default insurance. We are not planning to provide subcontractors default insurance, which we did on the jail, but are not planning to do that on the annex in an effort to reduce the budget. Our fee, the reason you see that at a 0% is similarly to the construction contingency. Our negotiated fee on the construction manager at risk work was 4.5%. So when you total the 4.5% off the cost of work, our fee was higher than the shown $341,000. Butler Cohen has agreed to reduce our fee. I believe it was roughly about a $25,000 deduct on our fee and reduce that. Builder's risk, That is the builder's risk for the project. That is a project-specific policy that handles any you know, weather event or damage during construction that happens while we're here. And then that gets to the items that I discussed at the beginning, the bond, the generator, and the credits to the project, anticipated credits. And that is how we arrive at the $8,016,114. We probably will round, so did we take the 53 cents off? Oh, you did. Jeff did. Yes, Jeff already did it for me. So. But our system just spits out the, you know, to the cent number. So I think that's.
And just for a quick clarification, bond, insurance, builder's risk, all those are associated with the cost that they get audited for. So those are numbers that they don't generate, but their vendor, insurance companies or whatever, they're set fees.
I know I went through that pretty quickly. Like I said, the estimate detail is provided for every one of the categories that I went through, so that you can look at specific scopes and where the cost parameters kind of specifically live. In a nutshell, that's where we sit today. I will tell you, you know, I know there were some questions asked early on in the process when we were initially selected and we were starting the jail process about market conditions and things that we're seeing as a construction manager. And, you know, we obviously are in the market. We are in several markets in Texas. Just to reiterate, we're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area doing work currently. We're in West Texas currently. We are in San Antonio currently. We are in the Austin area currently. We're in Houston currently, and we're in Oreo County currently. Being in those markets over the last, you know, 3 to 5 years has allowed us to be able to really kind of get a gauge on what's happening across the state of Texas. I think if I haven't mentioned this before, I will tell you that all the markets in Texas are unique. You know, depending on, you know, if you're in West Texas or East Texas or North Texas, there are different trends happening in those markets that affect not only price, but it affects manpower, labor availability. It affects decisions that subcontractors are making about what projects to pursue and what projects not to pursue. It is an ever evolving dynamic. We try to keep our pulse on that as best we can. But again, I go back to the process that I talked about earlier. We really, really, really try to do our due diligence in casting a very large net to try to gain interest in the projects that we're involved with. So that is a, you know, the information that I've reviewed today is a reflection of a point in time. And I will tell you that, you know, it has been an interesting last 3 years, to say the least. Prices and labor availability are not moving in a positive direction, i.e., you know, improving. Don't know when that pendulum is going to swing. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But until it does, we've got to keep moving forward and doing the job that we've been asked to do. So I'll kind of stop there. That kind of concludes really the bulk of our presentation. We'll open it up for questions, comments.
I got one more thing to add.
Yep.
When we first started the process, I've reached out to a lot of you guys here in court, with people, even local contractors that didn't originally come to the table. And they've contacted every one of them. Electricians, concrete, lots of local people. We gave them their names. They contacted them. They did get some bids. They didn't get some bids. But at the end of the day, I will say that when he first brought it to me, he knew we had a challenge. And I didn't even bring it to the committee for about 10 days. Because I told him we had to work on it before we started that process. And so I just wanted to let you know, they followed up with everything I could give them. And that's all I could do at the point in time to help. So anyway, just wanted to share that.
A mouthful. Commissioner, I don't know if there's anything to be said about, you know, the GMP, particularly about what that means and what that represents. I know we've been through this kind of before already on the jail project with the court, so I just wanted to make sure that there wasn't any need to...
No, there were a couple of, you know, and I heard the over here, there's a lot of information to, you know, digest, and, you know, I wanted to, you know, thank Commissioner Basham, who's also been a warrior in this, and you know, the multiple meetings and conference calls, and you know, Commissioner Basham and I are certainly at an unfair advantage in that, you know, we've been involved in all of these conversations and you know, cost savings. Just a you know, some note, and you know, not trying to justify why there's an increase, but there is a portion of the increases that fall on things that, you know, we have agreed to do and that we have done, and then some things that were created outside of the scope of, you know, when you're doing an estimate. You know, one being, we've heard the conversation about the retaining wall. That was something that was put on us by the civil engineer. And people say, well, why didn't you know about that? Well, you don't go through the whole civil engineering process prior to, you know, it's part of the stage in the process. Wish we could have, wish we did. We didn't anticipate that. But that's a significant increase in cost in the budget. We didn't think that we were going to need a, and there is a difference, I guess, between a detention and a retention. But there's going to be a detention pond on the parking lot area that will also require, I'm assuming, a fence, right? Yeah, that's part of the fencing. The utility increase was dictated by the city when, you know, we had a what we thought was a plan for the utilities. And then, of course, when the city engineers get involved, you know, they're requiring us to do a little extra work like they also did to us on the jail. You know, and that went, that was just a big, that went from 65,000 estimate to 181, you know, real, once they said, no, you have to put in a new manhole, you have to do all this.
Excuse me, Commissioner Weddle, let me clarify something, and I missed that on, when I went through my budget, you'll notice that I took the 65,000 that we had in our budget, I shifted that into construction, because we found through the jail that they need to handle the utilities along with their construction, as opposed to being ourselves doing it.
Yes.
Thank you.
Also, the server room that we've talked about quite a bit, which, you know, that was a meeting that we held with the county judge, and, you know, had the cooperation of the JPs. They had a conference room scheduled outside, you know, their area. They were able to give up that conference room, and we were able to expand the size of the server room footprint, which would be important if and when we bring, you know, the servers back. Well, obviously it's much more expensive to construct a server room square footage than it is an office space. And so that was after the fact. You know, those were conversations, you know, that we had. There was some increase in the vestibule size that after the estimate was given. We all agree, you know, that these are areas that we want, and not just that we need. You know, that was almost 200 square foot. So you can pretty well figure that out by the construction square foot per price and what that additional you know, value was. And then, of course, the generator, which I already spoke to. Yep, those were some of the areas that affected the GMP post, you know, original estimate. And I don't think they highlighted it enough. You know, I will tell you that both the architect, and if they heard from me, you know, once they heard it at least 10 times, and I heard Sean reference it, you know, skin in the game, you know, I really challenged them, you know, to come back. And they put real skin in the game. I mean, they're reducing fees that normally they wouldn't reduce. The SDI insurance, you know, that was a $108,000 reduction that they're either going to elect to take that insurance themselves. It's not going to be a cost to the county. So there were some real dollar values that they took out of this number in order to try to get it down to a manual number. And just a note of point. I think everybody, and I always make it very, very clear, you know, everybody knows where I stand. You know, I'm committed to this process. You know, right now, when we use the Civic Center, which really surprised me, we're paying $500 a day. You know, when we utilize the Civic Center, that's a future, you know, cost savings. Right now, we're, you know, renting a property for the JPs. And I keep going back, you know, to what we started with this thing is, this is a need that this county has needed for, you know, quite some time. Is it going exactly the way we planned? And, you know, I was trying to think of something I could say, and I'm just going to challenge the three of you guys that are coming in this podcast being dumped all this information, okay? That I hope this court can continue to do what we've done, and that's to focus on not focusing on the why not, and to focus on the how to. Yeah. Really easy to go, well, we can't do that, or why not? You know, we got to. But if we all get focused on how we can make this happen, how we can complete this process and this need of, you know, the can kicking, I'm certainly going to encourage it. So when we go through this volume of information, I will offer up, and I know that they are more than always willing to answer the phone, and I will agree with you know, what Sean said. They have never avoided a phone call. They have never avoided a tough conversation. So I would encourage you guys, specifically you three. I mean, you know, Ryan and I have asked all the questions. We have mashed this thing, you know, to death. Pick up the phone, call these guys, and ask them your specific, you know, questions. Because I think we know there's no action items today, but the one that will happen is I will absolutely be putting this on the agenda for next Tuesday, and we will either vote up or vote down, you know, the GMP. And of course, at that point, then you'll get another dialogue from me. But just want to encourage everybody to not focus on, you know, the why nots, and to focus on the how tos.
Mr. Butler,
I'll make sure everybody has my cell phone for all either.
Yeah. I appreciate the due diligence that you've put into this process. I mean, I mean that very sincerely.
Yeah.
You know, I suspect, without having sat in weekly meetings, that there have been some challenges with this project. And I would probably venture to say, with any smaller market, you face some challenges that you don't in larger markets, just as well as in the larger markets, you probably face some challenges that you don't in the smaller market,
right,
kind of thing. So, you know, a little bit unique. And my hat's off to you if you are trying to operate in the Austin market right now. and that's a whole nother conversation. At the heart of it, from my standpoint, notwithstanding Commissioner Weddle's comments, I believe this is a need. It's not a want. Overall, the project is a need. The challenge that faces the court right now is trying to figure out the $3 million delta between what was the allocated funding and, you know, what we can generate within a 10-month period. And I can tell you right now, I mean, I don't have the answer to that question. I mean, I think there are some funds available above and beyond what we had templated. But even to that extent, I can't tell you what that number is. I mean, and, you know, we can talk about cost per square foot or, you know, have a bunch, but really what it boils down to is what can we write the check for? I mean, really, it, you know, the, because there are certain aspects of this project that are absolute needs. You know, the cost per square foot just becomes what it is. I mean, there's no magic wand to say that we get a global discount because we're Coryell County. I'd like to think that, but I don't think that's the case. So yes, this will be under consideration at our regular meeting. Mr. Butler, I did have one additional question for you. I mean, I believe I saw in here something about, you know, the bids that have been put out are basically good for about 30 days. When's that stopwatch start? I mean,
we've actually gone beyond that 30 days since the time that we received the bids from the subcontractor. You know, we oftentimes anticipate that that's probably going to happen, especially when we're dealing with, you know, counties and municipalities that obviously have to make decisions as a group. I can tell you that we have been talking with vendors that have solicited or turned in bids. Most of the feedback, if not all of the feedback, has represented to us that, you know, if decisions were to be made and commitments were to be, you know, notices of award were to be indicated prior to the end of the year, that everybody can, their numbers are still good. You know, unfortunately, we're just kind of getting to, you know, this process has culminated towards the end of a year. And, you know, historically, even since I've started this business, I'm sure Jeff may be able to allude to it as well. You know, you get to the end of the year and January 1 pops up, you know, whether it's real, whether it's not, you do have some potential risk of price increases. So not saying that that's going to happen, you know, it could happen. And that's, unfortunately, I can't control that timing and anything else. But what we do know today and what we do know through the end of December is that, the prices can be maintained if we were to start notifying selected subcontractors that we anticipate an intent to award.
Hey, Judge, I might throw in there, the original submission was dated November 14th to our group, not to me, but to the committee that's reviewing it.
Right.
And based on that, if the court saw fit to make a decision next Tuesday in the regular court, it would theoretically be within that 30-day limit, which would give them the opportunity, even through the holidays, to get the awards out. Because understanding, they're not going to call a guy up and say, I'm committing to $700,000. They got to give it to him in writing.
Right.
So that takes some time. So just with that in mind, Judge, I would just caution the court, if possible, that you consider a decision like you all talked about next Tuesday, that will give them adequate time to get that notification.
Right.
You know, and I, the reason you didn't hear these guys talk about a lot of the carryover cost savings is because I instructed them. I didn't want to, we cannot bank on those. We banked on a little bit that they feel very, very comfortable to carry over, but we kind of glossed over under the general conditions. They're possible because, you know, they submit every single cost and invoice to us that is subtracted from those general, you know, conditions. If there's anything left over at the end, you know, that comes back. You know. So there's a lot of working part. You said 3 million. I'm trying to figure out where you got that number.
We had originally templated 5.5 million. The court then made a budget amendment last year in the amount of 1 million, which put us at 6.5 million that was strictly and solely dedicated to this project. And we're at 9.5.
Yeah, I guess, you and I look at it differently. I look at the overall project. If my math is correct, we total source of funds was $13,735,000. I don't care how well we call it. That's what we borrowed, and that's what we had, and that's what we ended up with. $13,735,000. If I did my math right, and we add up the two projects, the jail, and we add it to the full GMP, then we come up with $15,139,710, which as an overall delta on the project is $1,404,715. I could be plus or minus $100,000.
I'm not.
When we started this process, we said we're going to look at these projects, you know, as a total. And so that's what I did. So, you know, it's still 1 million. It just rolls off our tongue, you know, and it drives me, you know, crazy as, you know, government, you know, we can just spit out million-dollar numbers. That is a huge, number. But again, that's not taking into account what I feel very comfortable at the end. It even won't be that number. It'll be less than that when we start getting some of the cost savings back. But yeah, you and I kind of differ on our two numbers, but that's one.
And I'm not going to split hairs with you over it. I'm just saying hair.
$1.5 billion hair.
But. Yes, that's at the heart of it. Is we're significantly over what we have. And when you talk about the project being a 10-month project, this is not something that we can rely on next fiscal year to be able to fund. Because if in fact the construction schedule moved forward at 10 months, you're looking at October of next year being completion, if I'm counting my months right. I mean,
yeah, I got it right at November 1st, which is kind of ironic. Well, literally,
so
guys, in theory, and I'm just going to defend you, there wouldn't be anything started before February, minimum. And then that's with the county doing the November 1st. So, because of the 30 days of procurement, just like we dealt with the jail, you won't see really a draw from them other than for bonds and insurance, which they'll have to get right out of the bat. You're probably not going to see anything before February. Just saying. So I assume it'd be in December.
That's kind of what I was premise. I was wondering. It would fall under two budget sessions. This one and the next one.
That's probably realistic time there.
I'm kind of just had that short discussion.
Right.
You know, and then I was believing good news. You know, our first payment, I believe, is due in February on our debt service, which is $1,084,437. We should be occupying the jail shortly around that time. And so that's when our, you know, cost savings will start to kick in. And it's still a winner. But in my eyes, as far as mathematically, financially, and fiscally responsible, you know, numbers. Trust me, I've had a chance to mash it much more than you guys have.
And we'll obviously have a good bit to talk about next Tuesday. What I anticipate doing for the court's planning purposes. I want to take a look at the agenda. I think since there's still some detailed discussions to be had on this particular item, we'll take care of what I would consider regular court items in the morning and schedule a specific time at 1:30 to come back in the afternoon to address specifically the GMP so that we can have a few more detailed discussions on it. And that way for everybody can plan that that would be that afternoon item. If everybody's comfortable with that for planning purposes.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to stay here until
we get it done.
Yeah. I don't even know if we have to specifically, you know, put it as a 1:30. I mean, we can put it at the very end if you'd like, and then if we finish our court business up sooner, then let's get started.
I'm amiable to that. But yes, I mean, I'd like for it to be kind of a, you know, a very set thing that this is when we're going to execute it. So if we just put it at the end, and we'll see how the rest of it plays out.
Does the court want the construction manager or myself or both of us to be here for this meeting?
I don't need either of you. I've been in communications. I know how to read. I know how to do math. I understand the needs that we have. I don't. So I don't know about
the rest. And for budget cutting purposes, we don't get charged for it.
I don't necessarily need you guys, I would, at
your convenience, I'd love for you to maybe log in on, you know, Zoom, obviously, sure. Listen to it, and if we have a question, you know, then we can address it.
I can do that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, that's, and especially if we can even text you and kind of say, hey, we're getting close.
Yeah.
So you guys don't have to listen to all the standard process. Are you okay with that?
I'm perfect. I mean, I would like their participation, you know, from a Zoom standpoint. But yeah, I mean, are we going to gain anything by you know, traveling here? Although I know y'all like coming to Corio County. It's pretty easy to get around, from what I understand that y'all learn the lay of the land. Yes.
If you think of something between now and then, court commissioners, judge, that changes that mind, let us know. I mean, something you feel for some reason to feel differently that could be beneficial, just let us know.
Okay.
We'll definitely be available by Zoom at a minimum.
All right.
If we need to be here, we'll be in.
I think that would, at least from my standpoint, it meets, you know, all the needs and the intent that we would have. And yes, if we can send you a text and let you know kind of, you know, when we're about to kick off with that portion of the meeting. And be good. Not to rush, but any alibis around the horn? Mr. Weddle, anything else?
Nothing on this. I did want to saw on Facebook yesterday. Congratulations to Commissioner Taylor, 31 years in the volunteer fire department for the Jones World Volunteer Fire Department. He got a little presentation along with his son that's following in his footsteps with a 5-year. So he's got many more years to go. So that was it.
Okay, good. Commissioner Matthews?
I have none.
Commissioner Taylor?
I have none.
Okay.
Hopefully Mr. Basham gets to.
Yeah.
He did have a little bit of a illness that he's dealing with right now. Anyway, that concludes the business of the court today. Stand adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.